A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the upswing. Proudly, as always, presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. Horicon has 22 branches all across our fine state. And the great thing about Wisconsin is we are truly a state of neighborhoods. So even where Horicon has branches, right? Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, Waupun, Grafton, Menominee Falls, Slinger, all have their unique qualities, their unique restaurants, their unique little flavors within those communities. So today, with that spirit of Wisconsin and greater Milwaukee being true neighborhoods, all the variety of places and people and buildings, we're going to look into the wonderful tapestries of our city's history. Let's just kind of take Milwaukee a bit here, right? Milwaukee, so much unique charm within our neighborhoods. You got the historic Third Ward with all of its art galleries and trendy boutiques. And you can kind of dive into Walker's Point, all the diverse eateries and nightlife. You got Bronzeville, historic King Drive, so much artistic spirit and cultural events there. And even Wauwatosa, Cedarburg, Mequon, like there's so many unique qualities in our neighborhoods that celebrating them every day is so important. Bayview, the east side of Milwaukee, a true walkable neighborhood full of so many elements to discover. You really get that unique feeling of community in and around Milwaukee. And truly, I'm going to tell you, I haven't lived anywhere else other than Milwaukee, but I travel a lot, including a couple weekends ago, we were in Charlotte. And I don't know if it was the last time you've been in Charlotte, but it's different. Right? It's spread out. It's a lot more new development. And I'm comparing it to Milwaukee, so bear with me here. But I didn't sense the same level of historical significance, the same amount of architectural beauty in its buildings, and even like the sense of the legacy of institutions. I'm sure it's all there. But with so much new development in a city, you don't get that same sense of place. So that's why we have to really just embrace what historic Milwaukee is doing with doors open in our city. So this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, exactly what Doors Open does. It opens the doors to buildings that you may not, on a typical day, have access to. Specifically, the historic King Drive business community has a ton of buildings along its corridor that will be open. Ray Hill is the executive director of the King Drive bid. Ray is going to join us in the show. And then Grace Fuhrer, who runs Doors Open from historic Milwaukee, will join us. And actually, Ray and Grace worked together last year on an audio tour app that gives you the full download of the history of the historic King Drive. So we'll talk about that as well. But as we do at the beginning of every show, we're going to take a moment here and go two up.
Now it's time for the
two, count them, two.
Two up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business community and in neighborhoods that I'm seeing today that you need to know about. 1 year ago, the North Avenue Market in Milwaukee's Uptown neighborhood closed. It has now been taken over by its lender, the former North Avenue Market at 59th and North Avenue, right in that corridor that connects Wauwatosa and the city of Milwaukee. The ownership has been transferred recently to SH Acquisition LLC, which is an affiliate of the Milwaukee Economic Development Corp. This transaction is kind of done in lieu of MEDC filing a foreclosure suit, and it's going to set up this building, which, if you remember, way back when was an Associated Bank building. There's some debt on the building that MEDC hopes to recover in a sale. Again, this is a really vibrant component that connects Wauwatosa and Milwaukee. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this space. Let's go to the Cedarburg neighborhood. The ownership team behind the Elbow Room Bar and Restaurant in Brookfield is bringing its signature style and energy to Cedarburg. They just acquired Galeotto's 1221, which is located on Wauwatosa Road. Been there for 40 years. So I think sometimes when these big acquisitions of legacy neighborhood eateries happen, people will fear like, oh, they're going to take away all the menu items that we love. They're going to take away the volleyball. No, I've talked to the owners of this facility, Jake Denny, his brother Seth, and Robert Jude. They're going to bring what they're doing out at the Elbow Room in Brookfield to Cedarburg. They're going to keep the volleyball. They're going to complete it with an outdoor deck, a really, really vibrant Cedarburg staple that will now become the Elbow Room Cedarburg. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are talking community connections and more. Ray Hill is the executive director of the historic King Drive Business Improvement District. And Grace Fuhrer is marketing and special events manager at Historic Milwaukee. So much happening this weekend for Doors Open. Ray, I really appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So day to day, I sometimes feel, because I've worked in and around business improvement districts for much of my life. I've never been an executive director, though. Yeah. My wife has been. But tell us first, just define a bid for us so our listeners know.
Bids are very complex. BID stands for Business Improvement District. We are one of 34 BIDs and neighborhood improvement districts in the city of Milwaukee. And our focus is on actually the geographic area, particularly on King Drive. Mm-hmm. And our focus is to just make the overall area better. And we do that by supporting not only the businesses, but also the property infrastructure as well. So that's everything from beautification efforts to trash removal to weeds to signage on buildings to, I mean, a little bit of everything. Yeah. But we're kind of the managers of an area.
I always say neighborhoods and communities don't build themselves, right? They mm-hmm. need organizations and committed tenants and mm-hmm. residents that get up every day and figure out, all right, how do we move this forward? How do we fill vacant spaces?
Yeah.
So from your lens, the BID's 2025 theme is pride and promise.
Yeah.
Right? So define this a little bit for us, please. And then just give us a state of the state of King Drive in Milwaukee.
Yeah. So technically, the theme Pride and Promise came out of a marketing strategy that was developed based on the 1992's original Standing on the Promise. And the iteration was to really focus on celebrating the history while also celebrating moving forward. Milwaukee is, I believe, a city of neighborhoods, and mm-hmm. with that comes a lot of pride and excitement about where you're from. And so we wanted to make sure we captured that. Most of King Drive has long-standing businesses. We also cut right through five prominent neighborhoods that are very, very much strong and active. And so we wanted to ensure that there was a North Star of like how to celebrate, you know, where you are. Mm-hmm. King Drive is booming right now to the point where it's hard for me and my team to keep up. And I think it's just really because the people just make it better. So we have a lot of local entrepreneurs. We have several housing real estate developments that are happening. Mm. It's just a space of opportunity right now. So,
and it's such a connection to downtown Milwaukee, right? It is a destination in and of itself, but a true connection to a number of different neighborhoods, but the biggest neighborhood in Milwaukee, which is downtown.
Yeah, yeah.
So Thrive on King development is really reshaping, I think, and you can talk to this deeper, but reshaping the foot traffic of the area has become a real destination for meetings and conferences. Talk about the early impacts of Thrive on King.
Yeah, and lunch. I mean, Kinship has like the best bowl. That's what I eat.
Yeah.
The Interesting enough, I think before Thrive On opened its doors, one of the things that I know it did right, which was the collaboration of partners, Greater Milwaukee Foundation, Milwaukee Medical College, et cetera, is they really focused on engaging the entire area, not just the neighbors and residents, but also the other businesses in the district, to focus on we're a collaborator, we're inclusive, we're here. And what it's become is a hub, that opportunity for people to come in and for whatever reason, either use the space, meet there, have lunch there. And it's also visually pleasing as well.
Yeah.
And so I think it's provided and created additional vibrancy and just adding more to the area versus taking away. And I think when you think about large development projects, you don't want them to cannibalize other smaller businesses. And what they've done is really been intentional about adding to the district versus taking away. And so I think just by being very simplistic and saying, hey, we have a space that you can use if you need to. Hey, we have a cafe. It's open from 7 a.m. to 2. You know, very simple, basic things that communities need to continue to thrive and also bring visitors to the area. So I think they've been a great example of how community development can really be pushed with the proper real estate development.
Yeah, such an anchor for the community for sure. And the history there, Schuster's department store way back when. So
yes.
there's kind of this iconic history, and it's being reinvented into a true community hub. So it's just, it's so great to see. And he said the public art inside and outside really shines and really activates the street.
Yeah, it gets people talking. I, you know, just the other day, my mom was like, oh, yeah, I worked there in the shoe department. And I'm like, what? Like, who knew, right? So I think it activates that nostalgia that if you're a Milwaukeean, whether you called it King Drive or 3rd Street, it takes you right back when you see that, that facade. And I think that's the part that we could really appreciate.
We're talking with Ray Hill, the executive director of the historic King Drive Business Improvement District. A little plug, if I may, at Thrive on King on October 7th. PRSA, the Public Relations Society of America, is hosting a Meet the Media event that for some reason they've asked me to be a part of. So put that on your calendar. It's going to be a great event. But it's a true example of community organizations tapping into that space and activating it with events. When we come back, Ray, I want to talk about Main Streets and what the designation of King Drive as a Main Street means for the future of the corridor. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Corridors, community, and connections and more on today's show. Ray Hill is the executive director of the historic King Drive Business Improvement District. So, Ray, King Drive is a designated main street. And I think sometimes you hear, like, Main Street, and you think, oh, that's just like the main corridor that runs through town. Mm-hmm. But tell us what a main street is and what advantages it brings to you and your organization.
Yeah, so we are accredited Main Street, the only Main Street actually in the city through Main Street America. And it is focused on small business and walkability for those businesses. It also allows us to use a framework that is nationally recognized for four pillars on how we do the work. Everything from marketing and promotion, which is our largest pillar because we want to be a champion for not only the area, but the businesses. Design, so the beautification, the streetscape efforts. Organizationally, so we want to make sure that we capture the data to let you know what's here and how we're making progress. And then, of course, economic vitality, you know, how we're doing the work, how we're moving the needle, and having those dollars get back to the community. So we allow this Main Street, because we are one of the 34 bids and NIDs in the city of Milwaukee, it allows us to do our work differently with a different strategy.
Yeah. I mean, it gives you additional resources and some additional standards maybe and visibility too, right?
Which is everything good. From, you know, facade renderings that are free to historic data and information, we're able to get access to that because of the accreditation.
Yeah. All right. So for someone that hasn't driven down or through or walked, I always say, you know, when you're downtown Milwaukee, park your car and get out and walk, especially this weekend for doors open.
Yes.
But for somebody that hasn't walked King Drive, talk about kind of the current mix of retail, residential, and restaurants on the street.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. But to your point, we're a car-centric city. It's really not that far.
Yeah.
So we are a block away from the Pfizer Forum. So you could literally walk from Carson's if you want, or the A-Loft, and head to Thrive On. Really, it's going to be probably a 10-minute walk.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be uphill, but it's going to be a 10-minute walk.
That's right. It's a nice walk.
It's a nice walk.
It really is.
But the goal is to really showcase the district in a different way. And so we have everything from, you know, the normal retail where you can grab coffee or tea, so you'll see some manufacturing facilities that integrate within King Drive and some of the West streets. And then, of course, we have some restaurants, too, that really focus on.
Any new ones or current favorites? I mean, it's hard. Oh, I always
I
ask this question.
The...
I can't just give you one. I know. It's like picking my favorite kid.
I can't do the favorites. The last time I did that, I got in trouble. So I won't say favorites, but I will say the newest one would be Summer 85, which we just
did. And where is that? What's
is
across the street?
2315 North MLK Junior Drive. It is about a block, slightly a block north of Garfield and MLK. So very walkable from North Avenue, in between North Avenue and Garfield. It is has a 80s theme, so very luxury vintage-like. It's one of those newest bars that I think you have to check out because the theme is very... it's very unique, I think, to the other part or the other restaurants in the corridor.
Is the menu 80s, too?
It
like,
does.
What's your favorite
they have,
80s
they
food,
actually,
right,
they
Trace?
Cheese curds.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I had like a fun specialty cocktail. So they have really fun drinks.
Nice.
And they have like a DJ that plays 80s music.
Yeah.
And then they have like 80s exercise videos playing.
Oh, nice. All right. So you can eat the cheese curds and then you got the exercise video playing.
And there's some real cool decals on the wall, too, where you're looking at, you know, like something from Back to the Future or what's the other movie with the karate movie? Oh, I can't think of it now, but it's a cool place to check out.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Put it on the list for sure.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you about, you know, if you're an owner or a developer and you're evaluating investment opportunities in the greater downtown area, what are the signals to watch now, like policy, capital, other anchor projects that are maybe coming to the area? And how do you bring the momentum to a head and continue it on King Drive?
Yeah, so I think essential services are necessary. I think they're a major or should be a major part of development. And what I mean by that is what makes a neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
What do people need on a regular basis? I think traditionally the city's focus used to be straight first floor commercial use. And we're seeing some innovative ideas around that, whether they're lived work units or they are smaller footprints to allow people to flex the space a little differently. Community spaces are also being used in a different way. And so I think for developers, it's important to think about the needs of the residents that don't require them to get in the car if they don't have access to that. And just think about the other assets around the neighborhood. And so I think the benefit of King Drive is that we are very closely aligned to not only downtown, but other neighborhoods, but also very close to the freeway and other accessible lines to get around. And I think that's an asset that we don't necessarily talk about, as well as parking. You can pull up and pretty much
You got some nice street parking options.
Walk,
it's easy.
You don't have to
pay. Milwaukeeans like to see their car.
That's right.
We
like
to see it in a very close proximity. So I think those are good benefits as well when thinking about development, whether on the residential side or commercial side. I think there's a very close-knit community feel where you don't have to drive far to get to a neighborhood or a store. I think the walkability is also great.
When we come back from the break, I want to have you give me the... Everyone uses the word hidden gems when it comes to doors open, right, Grace? But they're not hidden. They're like right there. They're big, beautiful buildings. But this weekend, the public has access to some of these buildings mm-hmm. that maybe you don't have on a day-to-day basis. So I want to get your insider tips, Ray,
okay.
when we come back. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Big weekend is here, and for some reason, Grace, and I think you're going to agree, doors open Milwaukee weekend. The weather is always absolutely perfect.
Don't jinx it.
No, I'm embracing it. Like, it is always 78 degrees and sunny.
We should do doors open every single
day. I only
for
have
15
one,
years.
I've been involved kind of in one capacity or another for the majority of the event, and there's only one rainy day that I remember in the whole time.
Wow.
So, yeah. And it does look clear for this weekend.
That's what Milwaukee's all about. Sunshine and smiles.
Absolutely.
And it happens on Doors Open weekend for sure. So, Ray, I wanted to first, before we get into all the details and logistics for the weekend with mm-hmm. Grace, in terms of Historic King Drive, what are some of the must-see events for Doors Open today and tomorrow?
Yeah, I would say if you can see all of them, but if you have to make decisions, I would say Birdsong is a very unique spot as well, open, four doors open, but also a long-standing business that has everything from oils to soaps to apparel, so it's a really cool place. Sanger House Gardens is one of my favorites.
Okay.
It's actually on Palmer, but it is a very unique oasis that also has an Airbnb attached to it, but just the beautiful gardens that I think everyone should see.
Okay.
And then another favorite, slightly east of the Business Improvement District, but Sheslings Wood is a very unique place. Tonda Thompson is the proprietor, and she has a sawmill. At that space. And so she creates, she's a self-taught carpenter, and she started in 2020. I even bought two tables from her.
Oh, nice.
But just an amazing space to see where the magic happens.
Right.
So,
yeah, and kind of a business that, you know, unless you're in the market, you may not otherwise go into. So you can kind of see the behind the scenes, see how they work, and then kind of look around and get the history of what the building's all about.
Yeah.
And that's what Doors Open is all about.
Yeah, and I'll say Sheslings Wood was a German bakery historically.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
But now she has a full-size sawmill in the backyard of this property, and she's taken fallen trees from Forest Home Cemetery. She's making her own 2x4s and then making furniture with those 2x4s and teaching other women how to be carpenters and builders.
Yeah.
So it's just a really cool place.
The circle of Milwaukee life. That's beautiful. So, Grace, there are 160 plus sites for Doors Open. It's the event's 15th anniversary?
15.
15 years. This year?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So, just give us the background first about Historic Milwaukee, what the organization does above and beyond this event.
Sure. So Historic Milwaukee has been around since 1974. We celebrated 50 years last year.
Okay.
We have an event, a long range event called Spaces and Traces in spring, which is a neighborhood open house event. So we open up individual homes versus commercial properties. Next year's will be on the east side. It's a really cool opportunity to see some historic homes that have been renovated over the years. And then we have walking tours almost every day, all summer long, of downtown in Milwaukee's neighborhoods. We have a really fun gift shop on the corner of Michigan and Broadway. And in winter, we have a hop streetcar tour and a skywalkie tour.
Nice. And this year, I hear the hop streetcar facility is a part of Doors Open, which is super cool. I did a hop cast on board the streetcar for years, which was really fun. But that facility is really cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the maintenance facility, which is not otherwise open to the public. So it'll be really neat.
There you go. So what are some of the other new sites for this year? I want to have you talk first, if you will, about Uplifting Mansion, because I was just there meeting with Deanna a couple weeks ago, and I'd never been in that building just to see what they are making it into. Can you give us an overview of what Uplifting Mansion's all about?
Yeah, that's on Wisconsin Avenue in the Near West Side, and it was historically a mansion built for one of Milwaukee's tugboat companies and was later turned into a tavern and then different kind of office uses over the years, and just last year opened up as Uplifting Mansion, which is now on the lower level, has a artisan residency and gallery with the featuring Near West Side Neighbor art. The ground floor is an events venue, upstairs is office, and then the top floor is Airbnb.
Yeah, and amazingly designed too. The top floor Airbnb there is wonderful. 1899, I think it was was built. So I mean that's the. You look at these homes, and many of them were single-family homes back in the day. I think another new space this year is the Wisconsin Club, which is the home of
Alexander Mitchell.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
So the Wisconsin Club is a private club right next to Central Library, also on Wisconsin Avenue. So you can only go there if you are a club member, if you're attending an event there. I think a lot of us who work downtown have maybe had the opportunity to go there, but this is a really cool opportunity to tour the club from the bottom to top. And again, also a historic mansion.
Yeah. And are there certain areas of focus this year for you in terms of specific neighborhoods, or is it generally Doors Open is open to anywhere?
Anywhere, yes.
Okay.
And.
Okay. All right.
No, I mean, we have sites stretching from Havenwood State Forest on the north side to the south side. We have the Basilica, the west side. We have many locations. And then this year, the Near West Side Partners have been an amazing partner in bringing, they have 10 participating locations, and they're going to have free shuttles throughout Saturday, a walking tour that you can bring your sketchbook along and do some sketches. And then at 43rd and Valete, where there's 3 participating locations, they'll kind of have a party at the end of today, Saturday.
And so the easiest way to map out the journey, I know King Drive, there's a walking audio tour that you did last year, but what's the easiest way? Can I go to the website and just mark my spots, or should I just park and walk around? Like, just walk it through for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think definitely start with the website, doorsopenmilwaukee.org. You have the ability to select your favorite sites, which will save for you, and then you can have a map to pick out the locations that you're interested in. On average, people visit about 5 locations throughout the weekend, so you don't have to feel, try not to get overwhelmed and assume that you're going to hit every spot. But yeah, definitely picking a neighborhood or a theme. So if you're really into art galleries, we have a lot of those. Or if you want to see churches, there's plenty of churches to visit. So that's kind of the way that I would recommend setting it up.
Like for first timers, is there like timing and lines, and are there ticketed events too?
The 165 locations are free and open, no tickets required.
Okay.
We do still have some ticketed tours available. There's about 40 locations or walking tours that are ticketed. One example of that is Johnson Controls in Glendale has a new engineering lab, so people can tour that lab today. And we do still tickets for that available.
Okay.
Doko Momo is a local nonprofit that highlights mid-century modern buildings and architecture in Milwaukee, and they're doing a modern churches driving tour, and we still have some tickets available for that. So the ticketed tours are kind of more for a longer, more in-depth experience.
Yeah.
Otherwise, these open access sites, you can kind of pop in, and however long you want to stay, you're welcome to.
We're talking with Grace Fuhrer from Historic Milwaukee. Grace, when we come back, I know Doors Open happens in a lot of different markets. I want to get your thoughts on what cities are really doing this event in a creative way, and maybe what you can learn from some of your colleagues around the country. Welcome back to The Upswing. Grace Fuhrer is the marketing events manager at Historic Milwaukee. Doors Open is this weekend all across Greater Milwaukee, today Saturday, tomorrow Sunday. I know there's other cities that do Doors Open events, obviously. Are there some that you look to and say, oh my gosh, I wish we could do this in Milwaukee? And what lessons have you learned from your colleagues?
Yeah, I actually was just on a panel with colleagues from Chicago, Minneapolis, and Denver during the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And so we all exchange a lot of ideas about volunteers, the building filters that we have on our pages, how to talk to sponsors. So there's a lot of idea sharing that happens between these peer cities. I can definitely highly recommend all of those places to visit. Okay. Unfortunately, Denver is the same weekend as ours, so you can't go to both easily. Okay. I mean, maybe hop on a flight. but Chicago's event is in October, and they're just a quick train ride away. So definitely a beautiful city and amazing architecture there.
as you prepare for the event all year long, are there any buildings that you just haven't been able to convince to participate?
Yeah, I'll just lay it out.
Yeah, lay it out. Come on,
call to action. Call to action.
The AT&T building on
Broadway in downtown.
The central building.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if anyone
wants to see some of the old switchboard operator stuff in there, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and there's sort of a cool historic like catwalk at the top of that building.
Okay. All right.
I would love to get my hands on. The Gaslight Building has participated kind of as a ticketed tour site in the past. I know the ownership is in flux at the moment, but the future of that building, I would love to see, you know, participate in Doors Open.
Okay.
U.S. Bank did participate early on in Doors Open and have not since the pandemic. That's another one that has great view of Milwaukee. So we'd love to have them back.
Okay. All right. Put those three on the list for future Doors Open events for both you and Ray.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Milwaukee building and why?
Ooh, I have one. Right. It's actually connected to Doors Open. So when I first, I think this was maybe 2017, I called it the CK building, the Catholic Knights building. Mm. Got to see the top of that and the views. And there was a pool up there.
There's a rooftop pool. Yeah. It's all resident.
It was really exciting for me to see it. So we always seen it from, obviously, the expressway. So that's huge. But I also have a favorite, and that's the courthouse. And being able to see the Gandhi statue as well that most people didn't know. Is there. So those two are my favorite. My favorite ground level building, and then my favorite, like, you can see everything everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And swim if you really want to.
Grace, your favorite Milwaukee buildings?
I will first shout out the building that I'm lucky enough to office out of, which is the Mackey Building, home of the Grain Exchange Room.
The
Grain Exchange Room historically would have been where we set our world's price of grain. It was kind of a Wall Street trading floor. It's like a three-story ballroom that just showcases beautiful murals, not typically open to the public, and it will be open on Sunday this weekend.
Okay.
And another site that is not traditionally a building but an amazing community space for Milwaukee is Alice's Garden Urban Farm. And that's a place that I was introduced to through Doors Open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really lovely place in Lindsay Heights that's a community garden, and they host a lot of really amazing events, and definitely recommend visiting there this weekend.
Yeah. I would say for Doors Open, I think both the Downer and Oriental Theaters. The Oriental. Okay. Yeah. Getting in those theaters when an event isn't going on, it just it makes you notice the beauty of the Oriental Theater so much more. Because, you know, usually when you're there, you're going to a movie and you got other stuff on your mind. You know, get me in the theater.
Yeah.
But when you're walking through it just to take it in, there's so much beauty. And I think that's the beauty of the event as a whole.
Yeah.
So
and we have a few theaters, Riverside Theaters, participating on Sunday this year, too. Same kind of thing. And you get to walk on stage and, you know, pretend like you're a performer.
Awesome.
All right. Very good. So remind us of all the details again, Grace.
DoorsOpenMilwaukee.org, happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. The hours are 10 to 5 p.m., but check the site to double check their hours.
Very good. And finally, I love to ask people this question, especially when I have wonderful, smart, talented, connected people on the show. I've given you a magic Milwaukee wand, and you can wave it with one wish. Ray Hill, what is that for you?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought about this a lot. More public funding from the state for arts.
Okay.
Wisconsin is second to last in our country for public funding for arts, and that's only becoming more and more important now more than ever.
That's a really good, I mean, because public art drives creativity and entrepreneurship and really has a connection to recruitment and retention more so than sometimes it's just granular. People think, oh, public art is just public art. No, there's a bigger picture to it, and having it properly funded creates a wonderful creative spirit that we need more of. That's really good.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. That's hard to follow, but it gave me some grounding. So I legislation just passed to have a Office of Film through the Department of Tourism. I would love to see more movies made here. Want to showcase the city and the state. and the other is to generate more economic development to our businesses here locally. So
I love it.
The two are related, really. Because if we had more public funding for arts, we'd have more movies made.
There we go. This is why we work together.
That's very good. That's what it's all about, collaboration and community. I thank you both for what you do each and every day. And doors open this weekend all around the greater Milwaukee area.
Thank you.
Big thank you to Grace and Ray for joining us in studio today, taking time. Especially during an event, so important. But I know they're busy. There's so many wonderful spaces that are open all around Greater Milwaukee. Just you go to historicmilwaukee.org and you look through the list. First, an easy one to forget that's open is the Baird Center. And that new north building is really, really special. The outdoor deck is amazing and the views of the city are absolutely stunning. The Basilica on Lincoln Avenue is open. So there's so many kind of these, I don't want to call them hidden gems, but I want to call them places that maybe otherwise you don't take the time to go into. So make sure you get out to Doors Open this weekend. But I'm looking forward to next week already, as Dr. Kimo Ayun, the president of Marquette University, will be back in studio with us. Dr. Ayun is bringing along Dr. Manal Hamdan from the School of Dentistry at Marquette. You talk about community building. Everyone wants a great dentist in their neighborhood, but there's a lot of innovation happening in dentistry, and the new students at Marquette are learning dentistry through AI. So we're going to dive into what's going on in the modern world of dentistry from a Marquette lens. I was at the dentist a couple weeks ago, and I had a wonderful conversation about like what floss I should be using. So I kind of have this weird passion around dentistry. So we're going to have a great discussion. That's next week on The Upswing.